Baal in worshiping God. He says they're not going to use the word Baal any longer. Zephaniah 3, verse 9, is it? Talks about a pure language. Let me look it up. Zephaniah 3, verse 9. I will turn to the people a pure language. They may call upon the name of the Eternal to serve him with one consent. We'll get to that later in the semester. But he's talking about a language that does not include names for Baal, because Baal's not going to be worshipped, that turns to him. Verse 17 of Hosea 2. I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. Again, this aspect from Zephaniah. In that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field. So the new covenant, the millennial covenant here, for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword in the battle of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. So we see a time where there won't be the warfare between nations, as we see taking place now in the Mideast. God is going to be the military might of Israel. They're not going to have weapons. They're not going to need weapons, because God will once again fight those battles. So we see two aspects of peace here. We see in the first half of verse 18, a peace among animals, for them with the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, the creeping things on the ground. So you can tie in Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 9. Isaiah 1 through 9, as he talks about the animals and the peace there. Secondly, is the peace between nations, that the military might is broken. Isaiah 2, verse 14. Isaiah 2, verse 14. Verse 19, and I will betroth you unto me forever. So the new covenant is a marriage covenant which is forever, not to be broken. Yes, I will betroth you unto me in righteousness. In other words, obedience to God's will, submission to God's will, and in judgment. Judgment requires proper relationships with neighbors. So we have righteousness, which is obedience to God. In judgment, proper relations with neighbors, with how you treat people. And in loving kindness. Loving kindness is the devotion to God as a husband. Devotion to God as a husband. And in mercies is the love and forgiveness of parental responsibility. Love and forgiveness of parental responsibility. Verse 20. Caught up. I never speak too fast. You people just write too slow. Okay, verse 20. I will even betroth you unto me in faithfulness. Faithfulness is on both parts, the husband and the wife. He says he will be faithful to them, they will be faithful to him. Unwavering constancy. And you shall know the Eternal. There shall be an intimacy. Obviously, we're not talking sexually, but we're talking about that deep love of a husband for a wife for a husband. A parent for a child, and a child for a parent. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear. In other words, I will respond, says the Eternal. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. I will hear the heavens. It's as though the government of God is restored. Satan is bound, therefore he's not ruling the heavens. He's not traveling between earth and heaven. He's bound. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. The heavens, in other words, hear the cry of the earth for rain, and proper rain. There'll be proper rainfall because there is disobedience, unless people disobey. And if they disobey, what happens? He takes away the rain, Zechariah 14. Verse 22, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. A lot is packed into verse 22. The earth shall hear the corn, the wine, and the oil. They shall hear Jezreel. Jezreel means that God sows. What does he sow? He sows judgment. So the earth will hear that God sows judgment. As Israel is finally restored through repentance. Israel is finally restored through repentance from her sins. Of chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, why does he bring up again the corn, the wine, and the oil? That the earth hears the corn, the wine, and the oil, and they hear of judgment. The corn, the wine, and the oil, number one explanation is that there is plenty again. There is prosperity. And these are primary products of the Middle East. Corn or grain, which is used for making bread. Wine, which is used for joyful consumption, and in the Mideast, it was basically a libation that was commonly taken. You will find one of the lowest incidences of alcoholism in the land of Israel that you'll find in any nation, because they have tended to use it within families, they have learned to use it as they grow up, and to learn to be careful not to abuse it. Doesn't mean that no Israelis are alcoholics, but you're talking about the incidents, at least at this point. And that will be restored, the opportunity to properly have wine. There are some people who cannot drink wine in the church and should not drink wine because they can't control it. And, you know, they have to look to the millennium at a time where there can be the rejoicing and partaking of wine. And the oil. Oil, again, the olives that were grown there are another very important product of the Middle East. For wealth, as far as well as that, you know, for the making of bread and for their existence. Now, there seems to be a second indication here, and that it is also pointing to Jesus Christ. The fact that Christ is the head will then be seen, even as now the church sees Christ as the corn, the wine, and the oil. Christ is the bread of life. The bread pictures the body of Christ. We are told in John chapter 6, verses 31 through 35. So within the context of the church, of those individuals that repent and change now, it's those individuals that understand the significance of the bread, of the wine, which is a type of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which we partake of year in and year out. John 6, verses 53, 60, and 63. John 6, 53, 60, and 53 for the wine. And then, of course, the oil, which we know throughout the Old and New Testament is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. That we look to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, which is the essence of Christ. It is the Spirit that He sends, that He administers, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, to the church. And through this, we put on the linen of righteousness. Let's go back to verse 9, where he says, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax. Flax is linen, a type of the linen of righteousness. Revelation 19 and verse 8. Revelation 19 and verse 8. The linen of righteousness, and my flax given to cover her nakedness. So, we see the story of Hosea 1 and 2, the story of Israel. And Israel rejecting God, therefore being rejected. Eventually, in the millennium, they will come back to God, they will be restored. They will accept the corn, the wine, and the oil. And they will realize the corn, the wine, and the oil physically comes from God and Jesus Christ. They will also accept the sacrifice of Christ, pictured by the bread, the wine, and the oil. And of course, use the Holy Spirit, which is a type is typed through the oil. And again, there is the story of the church and the responsibilities of the church as my people, as God's people, that then follow and provide the preaching and the setting the stage for the coming of Jesus Christ, and then the establishment in the millennium of all people looking to the bread, the wine, and the oil of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's it. We meet Wednesday again, right? Okay. Who caught it? Yes.
What were the scriptures in John 6 again? It was John 6, 53.
53, 60, 63. And 63.
Okay, 60 and 63. I remember 63.
The bread is talked about in verses 31 to about 33.